Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Mo H. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Wednesday, January 28th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading in the Big Book on Bill's story, page 15, the second paragraph. We commenced to make many fast friends through one paragraph ending with, "We are growing in numbers and power," and the comments will be on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Susan G., the 12 Traditions, Mary P. The readers of the text are Ann S.C.H., Julie E.B., and Leslie M. The share ID for Tuesday, February 27th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,161. That's 23161. And for Wednesday, January 28th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,164. That's 23164. Our newcomer greeter is Larry G., and the announcements person is Robin P., and I sure appreciate all your service we all do for the month of January. The OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Susan G. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Mo and everybody. Susan G., recovered compulsive overeater in Tennessee. Here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me give service this month to our past.
Well, thank you very much. That's Susan G. from Tennessee. And I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those I serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning. I'll pass.
And thank you very much. That was Mary P. from Texas. All right, here we go. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 15 in Bill's story. The second paragraph down, it begins with, we commenced to make many fast friends and a fellowship, and it ends on the next page with, we are growing in numbers and power. And I will now ask Anne SCH to begin reading for us and comment on that paragraph. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for doing this month. I appreciate your service. My name is Anne, and I am a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater living in British Columbia, Canada. Reading, we commenced to make many fast friends, and a fellowship has grown up amongst us, of which it is a wonderful thing to feel a part. The joy of living we really have, even under pressure and difficulty. I have seen hundreds of families set their feet in the path that really goes somewhere. Have seen the most impossible domestic situations righted, feuds and bitterness of all sorts wiped out. I have seen men come out of asylums and resume a vital place in the lives of their families and communities. Businesses and professional men have regained their standing. There is scarcely any form of trouble and misery which has not been overcome among us. In one Western city and its environments, there are 1,000 of us and our families. We meet frequently so that newcomers may find the fellowship. fellowship they seek. As these informal gatherings, one may often, at these informal gatherings, one may often see from 50 to 200 persons. We are growing in numbers and power. And there's an asterisk in the text that says in 2011, AA comprised of over 107,976 groups, not individuals, but groups. Mm-hmm. So again, my name is Anne SCH, and I'm calling in from British Columbia, Canada. And, you know, there's in this paragraph from people that are on this line, you can go to many places in the paragraph, but the one that is really, there's actually two, is I have seen men come out of asylums and resume a vital place in the lives of their families and communities. And then upon reflection of all this paragraph, my identification into it is that I had a term in emotional healing that required hospitalization. And it was related to food. And it was like, I'm in my 70s now, but this goes back to so many decades ago. And essentially what I was doing is I was restricting and then binging. And it was screwing up my mental capacity to function to such a degree that I needed hospitalization, actual physical hospitalization. And I like to say that at that point, that I was diagnosed with having a disease such as compulsive overeating, which would have eventually, that would have taken me to the 12 steps. But the compulsive overeating diagnosis was self-done. I had to do that myself, but that was after many decades of struggle. And one of the things that, the next sentence that really comes out is, there is scarcely any form of trouble and misery that has not been overcome among us. And I'm living in that right now. My ability to process mentally and to live in joy is really as a result of this community and learning about how to live the life of recovery doing the 12 steps. So for whoever is out there that may be suffering and you're thinking, oh, this won't do it for me. That is, I can attest, is that don't count yourself out. There's something here for you, no matter how, if you stay for 5 minutes, no matter whatever you stay for 50 years. So with that, I pass.
Well, thank you very much. That's Anne SCH from British Columbia, Canada. And let me remind everybody where we are. We are on page 15 of Bill's story, the second paragraph. We commence to make many fast friends through one paragraph ending. We are growing in numbers and powers. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Larry G.
WC.
Okay, Larry G. I got Larry G. I heard a WC.
Yeah, Michelle WC.
Michelle WC. I thought I heard Christina. Did I hear you?
Yes.
Christina J.
Amy F.
Wendy
M.
So I heard Amy. Wait a minute. Amy S. And I heard, Dorita O. But there was somebody before you, Dorita.
I think it was Kathleen.
Kathleen. O. And then I heard
Wendy.
N? Yeah. Okay. I got you, Wendy. Thanks. Okay. I have Larry G., Michelle W.C., Christina J., Amy S., Kathleen O., and Wendy M. Did I miss anybody? Okie dokie. Will you, everyone mute except Larry G. Good morning, Larry.
Hey, good morning, Mo. And thank you for your service. You're such a kind moderator. And what a beautiful way to start the meeting. Thank you, reader. That was just absolutely inspiring share. You know, I was thinking, why do I share? I share once a week. And I used to share for me before I got absent and recovered. It was all about me. I would want to be the star of the show. And there's something really wonderful about getting beaten a submission, because today I want to share to offer my experience, strength, and hope to those out there who are still suffering. And this is an amazing journey. And those of you who are new or coming back, don't give up. Don't give up. Give this a year. I mean, we say six beans, but really give it a year. And if you are inclined to find somebody and follow the simple directions that are laid out in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, when I came in, I was just so full of arrogance in 2000. I came from the mothership, which is Alcoholics Anonymous. And man, I thought that I knew everything. You know, I was Bill W. Jr. I had been in book studies. I went to Joe and Charlie. Man, you know, I knew it all. And today, my wife and I are talking this morning about contempt prior to investigation. You know, I fell down in the gym yesterday because I lost my balance in this bench, and this guy that I have been character assassinating in my mind helped me up, and the guy was a really kind guy, and I went up to him this morning, I thanked him, and I talked to my wife about contempt prior to investigation, and this is what you've done for me. This is what you've done for me. You've taken this arrogant man who got the shit beat out of him with food, and now has some degree of compassion. And actually, when I do the set-aside prayer each day, I actually do see myself in that set-aside prayer. And this is what A Vision for You has done for me. Being in this meeting, having a vision sponsor, working on the big book, having some kind of accountability around my food, it's getting better. You know, abstaining from my alcoholic foods, my brain is cleared up. I actually was getting a wet brain. I was having a hard time even putting a couple sentences together for 24, then 48 hours and 72 hours. I mean, it was getting to the point where I thought I was losing my mind. So I just am really reaching out to the new person and the person who's still suffering. Stay here. Be with us. Just give it some time, and recovery can happen for you too if you pick up the simple kit of tools that's laid out in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I hope that I'm not sounding preachy. I just want to give that message to the person who is new in the program. And with that, I pass to you. Thank you, Mo.
Hey, very much. Thank you, Larry G., and he's from California. Up next is Michelle W.C., followed by Christina J. Good morning, Michelle.
Hi, good morning. This is Michelle W.C. in California. This is a great paragraph, and several phrases pop out to me. The first one is how we can commence to make many fast friends, and that's wonderful to feel a part of a group or a fellowship. And I just, you know, that's really resonating with me today, that we are in a we program. You know, the first word, the first step is we. And, you know, for years I focused on the first step, I focused on being powerless and unmanaged, and my life was unmanageable. But yesterday in a conversation with my sponsee, we were looking at the word we and how it's, this has the fellowship of we that we can't, you know, I used to think I'm so smart, like why can't I figure out how to lose weight? Because I knew all diets worked if you just follow them. But it wasn't until I came to OA and that, you know, I had my sponsor take me through the doctor's opinion, and I learned and accepted. I fought it for a while, but I learned and accepted and surrendered that I do have a twist of the mind, that I do have an obsession, and that there are certain foods that definitely trigger that. And to kind of honor that and have a healthy fear of it, you know, identify those foods and behaviors and abstain for it. And I'm just grateful that I really do feel a joy of living because I am part of a fellowship, because I do regular outreach calls and I go to meetings. I really do feel part of a group. And the other line that stands out for me is the impossible domestic situations righted.
And my husband and I, before program, we just had this culture of blame, you know, because you did this, I reacted this way, and we both, neither one of us had any acceptance of our part in the situation. You know, one of the slogans we have is, wait, why am I talking? You know, I've learned to pause. And then I remember a couple of years ago, I was so sad when my kids started picking up on this and they started blaming us for their reactions. But thankfully, for me, working step 4 and step 10, I've learned to see what my part is in a situation. And now when I'm wrong, I promptly admit it, or as promptly as I can, admit it and apologize, make amends. And it's been so happy to see me when when I see my kids or my husband, when they can admit that they did something wrong and they quickly apologize and change. And my son snapped at me yesterday when we were studying together. And then, you know, he came in later on and he was like, Mom, I'm so sorry I snapped at you. And that's something, you know, it's the power of program that we can learn our part and we can learn to apologize. We don't have to justify why we are always right or how we've been wronged by the world. It's being humble through working these steps. And again, step 4 and step 10 is just really owning our part or my part in any situation. And I'm just so happy that things are right. Thank you. Michelle WC in California.
Well, thank you. Yes, that is Michelle C in WC in California. Up next is Christina J, followed by Amy S. Good morning, Christina.
Morning, Mo. I'm sorry I wasn't on to give you a hard time this morning earlier. Anyway, I'm from Washington, and boy, this really takes me back to in my 30s and 40s when my mother and I had we always had a tumultuous relationship, and I cut her off. And during that time, she had open heart surgery, all these things, and I wasn't there for her because I figured, you know, I can't deal with this. And that's how it went through my life. Can you still hear me, Mo?
I can.
Okay, because my phone keeps cutting out. Anyway, this book has brought me to an awareness of what my character defects were back then, how I was functioning in life to try to make it through. I was in a lot of self-pity. It was a lot of fear. I was pushing my way through life, and I didn't have time for my mother. And a year ago, 2 days ago, I submitted her to hospice, and I was there with her in Oklahoma. And during the previous 3 years to that death, we had healed the relationship. I had worked very, very hard on it. She was not very present. But because of this program, I was able to be there for her when she died and hold space and take her through that process. So this sentence, the most impossible domestic situations, right? At one point in my life, I felt like it's over. I'm not going to deal with her anymore, you know. And because of her death and cleaning out her nursing home room, I found her beauty. I found the beauty that I knew when I was just a small little girl. And she was there for me before she had to not be there for me anymore. I saw her beautiful scarves and her perfumes. And I saw her little jackets that she liked to wear. And I saw all those things that she wasn't able to be anymore because she was sick in bed with opiates and pain for over 10, 20 years. And I saw and I found those things. And they live with me now in my heart. And I realized that I carry those things now instead of the bitterness and the anger at her for the life we had. So this program is what brought me to that. And this program alone, because this program brought me to right thinking. It brought me to my heart where she lives. It brought me to being a better person. It brought me to today noticing when I'm wrong, seeing where I'm wrong, and shutting my mouth if I start to get angry or, you know, have bad feelings about someone or something coming at me. And I can see my part, but only because of this program. Because this program, again, it brought me to higher power. And what does higher power do? It teaches me that I want to live a good person like some of the greats did in our lifetime, some of the great spiritual teachers throughout time, and I won't mention the names. You guys know them. So anyway, I'm grateful for this program, and I've got many fast friends in this program, and I couldn't live without you guys. I mean, I really couldn't because I don't want to isolate anymore. this program, you know, encourages me to make calls and to connect and to write. So it's not about isolation. I'll finish up. It's about becoming aware, taking on that higher power in your heart and being a better person. And what joy is there in that? And being of service. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much. That's Christina J. in Washington State. Up next is Amy S., followed by Kathleen O. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Amy S. I'm from New Jersey. I'm a compulsive overeater, currently relapsed after just under 5 months of abstinence. A couple things stand out in this paragraph to me. The first being to make many fast friends and fellowships has grown among us, of which is a wonderful thing to feel a part. And I say that because I feel like one of the downfalls as to why I haven't recovered for any length of time after being in program for 2.5 years is because, like the first step says, the first word of step one chapter, it's a we program, and I continue to try to make it a me program. There's some kind of fear or hesitation with making outreach calls, and when I get the urge to eat, to especially make those calls. And I have more than 150 numbers programmed in my phone right at the tip of my finger. So I keep praying for the willingness to try to reach out to others because I know it will make such a great difference. Because when I do it, and I have done it, it's always such a beautiful experience speaking to people who understand exactly what I'm going through. The other thing that stood out to me was the men that overcome asylums. I, too, was hospitalized on multiple occasions for mental health and then 4 times for eating disorders, 1 inpatient, 3 outpatient. And unfortunately, the program, although it's supposed to be world-renowned, it didn't address someone like me who's a food addict. The program I went to addressed the hard eater, not the addict. And so with it not having the 12 steps, with it not having a spiritual component, it didn't help me at all, unfortunately. And it wasn't until I came into the rooms of OA, and especially A Vision for You, that I realized there was hope, there was a plan, there was a possibility I could recover. And I'm speaking to the newcomer in particular because I didn't think there was ever going to be hope. And at 48 years of age, I now realize I can have a completely different life if I just follow the simple plan that's laid out in the big book. And I'm so grateful for that. And I'm so grateful for all of you. And I'm so grateful for the meeting. And I'm so grateful for my God. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's Amy S., and she lives in New Jersey. Up next is Kathleen O., followed by Wendy M. And after Wendy, I'll take another lineup of names. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much. Kathleen O. recovered in Northern California. And there's so many nuggets in this reading today. The ones that jumped out on me are joy of living, fellowship, fast friends. I was very miserable before I came into 12-step recovery. And, you know, the joy of living, it's really nice to have, you know, left 70 pounds behind and not have it constantly chasing me like it did when I was doing a lot of yo-yo dieting. That brings a lot of joy to living in the physical sense, but the emotional, spiritual, it's so amazing what the 12 steps have done, and that's where a lot of the joy of living is, because I live in gratitude, and you know, this fellowship and when they say fast friends, it's interesting because it's kind of like in life, you know, you connect with people. And once you do in this program, even though you don't talk to them for a long time, you may or may not, it's like someone that you knew as a child. you can call them up, you know, months, years later, and absolutely connect with them. And I've, you know, met a lot of people in the 25 years I've been in 12-step recovery. And what I love about it is, you know, we can pick up the phone and we don't enable each other. It's, you know, there's times of selfishness, self-seeking fear that we can just really be compassionate with each other and redirect, you know, redirect away from the selfishness, away from the fear, and back to doing service. And, you know, doing service for me, inside and outside of program, that's where all the miracles happen. It is just so, talk about the joy of living. And, you know, we all have our outside issues of, you know, fear and things going on that we can't control or can or whatever. But being, having this fellowship, being in this program, focusing on, you know, what I can, what service I can do in life, and having this connection with this power that really gives me the energy and ability to do it, it's something that we just don't want to miss. And so, yes, if you, if this is new to you, just stay in. Make some calls. Some people you'll connect with, some you won't, but it's going to change your life. And thank you. I appreciate all of you. And thanks, Mo. I pass.
Thank you very much. Then that is Kathleen O. from Northern California. Before I take Wendy, let me remind everybody where we are in Bill's story on page 15. The second paragraph down, we commenced to make many fast friends and a fellowship. And it ends on the next page with, we are growing in numbers and power. Thank you all for your shares. Wendy M. next. And after Wendy, I will take another lineup of names. Wendy M. from Colorado. Good morning.
Good morning, Mo. Lovely to hear your voice always. This is Wendy. I'm a compulsive overeater in Boulder, Colorado. There's so much to say here. Fast friends, absolutely, 100%. You know, I heard this morning somebody said, you walk into your first meeting and you start reminiscing with strangers, right? Like you just look at them. We look at each other and we go, yes, me too. I've got this thing. These are my secrets. What are yours? Oh my God, you're saying my secrets out loud. There's nothing like it. It's the most validating, belonging experience. It's going from black and white into technicolor, right? And I do. I talk to people every single day. And then, you know, the highlight of my life is when somebody says, damn, that was so helpful. Thank you, Wendy. And I say, God demonstrates through us his omnipotence. That's how this thing works. We're just on an assignment. That's all we're doing. And then it says here, and I don't want to read it because I don't want to talk to you guys about it. The most impossible domestic situations righted, feuds and bitterness of all sorts are wiped out. Last night I said to my son, you know, I'd like to do family therapy. And that opening that door, being open to my son, he got to tell me what it's like to be around me. Wow. And I have a program, a Design for Living, where I just sat there and listened and I thanked God from the bottom of my heart that I could hear my son tell me what it's like to be around me. Wow. And I have a program, right, that I can take that and say, great, and we can get outside help, you know. But it's so humbling, right, that we're the tornado that ran through the lives of our families. And then yesterday I'm doing my fourth step and it's the same resentments, right? Same people, don't you know? They've harmed me. And here's how God changed me in this fourth step healing. God says, you want to run from these people because they're in pain and it kills you to feel their pain. And Wendy, you're a healing force of the universe. Is that my time? Okay.
No, not yet. You have a minute.
I was just saying, so God said to me, Wendy, dear God, you want to run from them because you want to run from their pain. Guess what? I put you in a position of being a healing force in the universe. You have an opportunity to give these people so much love. They're dying for it. And you have ample amount of love because you are loved by your higher power. I am complete. Nobody owes me anything, including these people that I was resenting. All I get to do, because I ache for their pain. I ache that I run from their pain. God doesn't want that. God wants us to be a force of light demonstrating through us. God wants to love these people so hard through us. And we get to do that today. And that is the healing transformational promises that's happening in this paragraph. How do we get there? This is how we get there. You do an inventory and I get to find out, oh, it aches to hate people. It aches to hate people.
Right.
So God, use me. With that, I pass. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you very much. That is Wendy O. from Colorado. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Dorita P.
I heard Dorita. Who was after that? I think it was a Pam.
Yep, Pam B.
Okay, Dorita P, Pam B.
Dina A.
Dina or Dana?
Dina.
Dina. Gotcha, Dina. Maybe one more. Okay, I have Dorita P, Pam B, Dina A. Anyone else in that group? Okie dokie, we'll go with those three. Good morning, Dorita.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mo. Oh, there you are.
Thank you, Mo.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, thank you, Mo, for your service. My name is Dorita Pippen. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. I'm really grateful to be here. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm really grateful to be here. It's a privilege and honor to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody do not get this opportunity for whatever reason, so I'm really grateful I have a seat here. Yes, it reminds me this part here. I mean, this is Bill. This is a wonderful story. Page 15 at the bottom. Fast friends. And I really like this bottom of the page. It says, we meet frequently so that newcomers may find the fellowship they seek. And somewhere in the book, too, it says something about the fellowship they crave. And reminds me of working with others, the second paragraph of working with others, which says, life will take on new meaning to watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. And I'm just so grateful that I took interest in the newcomer. And it's probably because, I'm like that everywhere I go. I really go out of my way to make people feel comfortable and welcome. And I thought about it. I thought about my life and I said, it's probably because, you know, I've been in a lot of places where I didn't feel welcome. So I just make a special effort. Like if I'm at any kind of event and I see somebody, you know, nervous or shy or whatever, I make a special effort to go to that person and, you know, at least say hi and, you know, strike up a little something like, are you new here or, you know, who you come here? Just anything. And I'm just so really grateful for this program. And I have found the fellowship I seek, or I sought, maybe how you say it. Because I felt so alone growing up, and especially with the food. I mean, like, I could not understand how somebody could eat one cookie, and I could not stop, you know, until it was all gone. I never could understand that. So I felt so separate from other people, you know. I felt a little comfortable in my family and even extended family, cousins, because I would say maybe 80% of us are compulsive overeaters. Now, it's only a couple of us who is in Overeaters Anonymous, so who have, like, addressed the problem, I guess you could say. So anyway, I'm just really grateful. And if there are any newcomers on the line, uh-huh, keep coming back. Thank you. I like what Ken said about a year, you know, but at least six different meetings before you decide if it's for you or not. Thank you for allowing me to share. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That is Dorita P. from Ohio. Up next is Pam B., followed by Dina A. Good morning, Pam.
Hey, good morning. I'm Pam B. from California, compulsive overeater, and I recently had 5 months of entire abstinence, and I felt the joy of living, and even under pressure and difficulty, and lots of these things were happening, and I picked up, and I cannot get more than a couple days abstinence in a row, and I want to have long-term recovery, and I love when people say they're relapse survivors. I love when people share when they're in relapse, and I so appreciate it. And the share today when someone said, you know, stick around for a year, and I was like, okay, so I'm gonna keep coming back, and I'm just, I don't know. I work in, you know, I know I analyze it, and I'm like, okay, which step am I not, what calamity, what, you know, I am working with others. I'm willing to sponsor. I'm working with a sponsor who suggested a slip inventory, and so I'm willing to do that. Let's see. You know, I came from a family of addicts. My brother died a gruesome addict death, and my father killed himself on drugs and a weight loss drug. And then my mom was she was an alcoholic and a compulsive overeater, but she was one of those high functioning, you know, she could drink on the week, get drunk, loaded on the weekend. And I think I'm learning compassion. Like I can manage, I wake up and feel great and no desire to compulsively overeat. At work, I'm fine. Man, after 8, I'm sitting in my chair and I'm just exhausted. And I think I want to put myself to sleep with food like forever and not wake up. Like I use it to, or the disease wants me dead, but it'll settle for putting me out to sleep. And so anyway, I'm here. I love you and I'm hopeful and I'm willing. Okay, I pass.
Thank you very much. That's Pam B. from California. And up next is Dina A. Good morning, Dina.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Me from New Jersey. So grateful to be on live and be able to be part of this meeting in an active way. And just like it says in the graph, it's a wonderful thing to feel a part. And that for me, I feel a part even as I just listen every day and like feel a part of this whole, like I'll pick up my big book. It's like, oh, that's what we're up to, if I'm reading with a sponsee. But when I could come on and join live and be part of this fellowship, that is so good for my recovery. And I just love so many things about this paragraph. The many fast friends in a fellowship that's grown up among us. My closest friends are my program friends. When I'm going through something and I'm thinking, who can I call? I do like 10 steps with fellows, but people I want to call when I have real emotions are always my program friends, because those are the people that we're so real with each other. There's scarcely any form of trouble and misery which has not been overcome among us. It makes me think of my Tuesday morning meeting. We have a small writing meeting. And over all the years, I've been in program 15 years. I don't know how long I've been attending this meeting, but many years. We've each, like we go around the table taking turns, having such big life stories, a lot of pain. There's sicknesses and deaths and kids that worry us. And
the difference, I'm thinking, between, let's say, a support group that would be have nothing to do with 12 steps and 12 steps, the way each one rises and we work the steps and the sharing is the strength and hope and God coming in and doing for us what we can't do for ourselves and the letting go. It's really incredible. And in my 15 years in program, I have relapse in a crisis. Not help. The food did not help overcome and did not help get through it with any sense of the calm and serenity and being cared for the way a fellowship will and the way 12 steps will and bottom line, the way my higher power does. So I'm so grateful to be abstinent and do other scares in my life right now. But if I could get through abstinent with God holding my hand, with 10 steps through the day when I need them, with an 11th step in the morning and the evening, that is free. No form of trouble or misery that cannot be overcome among us. Together we can. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. That is Dina A. from New Jersey. And we have time for about a two-minute share. Would somebody like to take that?
Ann R. from California.
Okay, Ann, you got 2 minutes. Thank you. Ann R.?
So, my name is Ann. Thank you. I'm sorry. When I'm unmuting and muting, I lose you. My name is Ann R. I'm from California, and on the 21st of December, I returned to visions, and I know it works. The self-discipline is loosey-goosey with me, but I wanted people to know, and I wanted my higher power to know that I'm still attentive. I still listen to the meetings. I still do the reach out calls, and my food compulsion has changed dramatically. Unfortunately, I have lost some friends who were some of my buddies, they were called food buddies, okay? That they wanted to feed me, and that's what we did. And so they're not there now. So I want to address the fact that in this paragraph, it talks about how we are a community of people who understand each other and who can provide solace and comfort, encouragement, and even direction in a way that is supportive, loving, kind, and powerful, very, very powerful. I don't have that within my own family, and I don't have that in my family of other recovering people, but I do have that here. And I am so extremely grateful. I'll start my morning by listening to you all and feeling the effect of knowing that sobriety, clean food, living sobriety is possible. And I just want to thank everyone on the line and let you all know that I have still been here. I'm still here. I'm still trucking. And I just am grateful. Have a blessed day. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ann R., for taking us out. She is from California. Thank you, everyone, for being here, those that gave service and those that were on the line giving service. Just being there is giving service. All right, we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Julie E.B. to read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask God in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the person who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great things will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand to God. Admit your faults to God and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of the past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We will be with you and the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the roads of a happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.